Hey, this is Erin. Welcome to the Faith Center Podcast Network. We want to be a source of hope, joy, and encouragement on your way to work, your time at home, or anywhere in between. Be sure to like and subscribe for daily and weekly content. For more info about Faith Center and the podcast network, please visit our website, lg4square.com. That's lg, the number four, square.com. If you'd like to be a part of the conversation, you can email the show at podcast@lg4square.com. Thank you and enjoy the show.
Hello there. Welcome to the Barnabas Project. We're excited to be with you today. Listener, I am in the studio with some cool dudes. You guys are cool dudes.
I know.
Thanks, Cam. Wow. Yeah.
It's great to be here with you guys. Here's a tissue for your tears.
Thank you.
Sam's tearing up in here. Wow.
So who's in here with me today?
I got good old Uncle Chong here.
Hey, Uncle Chong. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you doing, by the way?
I'm great. I'm excited to be here.
Enough about me. How are you?
Yeah, that's good. Good.
What's up, everybody? You know who it is. It's Mr. Worldwide.
This is Pitbull.
How's everyone doing?
Good. Good. We've had a running joke in the office. It came from a would you rather question, which if you don't know what those are, it's basically you get two options. You have to choose which one you'd rather. And not going to go through the whole thing, but it got us thinking of what if Pitbull was responsible for every song. He sings every song. So then we've just been thinking about every song that we know, even worship songs sung by Pitbull.
But seriously though, what was the year you rather? Because like, I think that's important to some context here.
Okay.
We need to,
I have it right here.
Go there.
Yeah. Right. Send us.
Would you have all song exist, but they're all performed by Pitbull. So only one Pitbull song exists, but it's performed by every artist and their own interpretation of it.
So the question is, do you want all the music? Hey Jude. Just
I can only imagine.
Right. There's more than that. Yes. But would you want every song that exists only to be sung by Pitbull? Or do you want one Pitbull song sung by everybody? And that's the only single one song that exists.
Turns out it's a harder thing to answer than one might think. Because we had some philosophical debates going on.
Yeah, because that would mean Pitbull is eternal.
He's
responsible for every song. That means every song Chong would want to sing on worship would be a conversion of Pitbull's song. So,
wow.
Yeah, there's some deep implications here that I'm not prepared to really wrestle with inside my soul. So,
yeah.
It was tough. It was a tough, we've had a tough morning.
I wasn't ready emotionally for this morning. Who else is here?
Oh, I'm here. This is Zach. You guys started talking about Pitbull. I thought I was getting replaced.
Man, I was on the phone with him earlier. I'm trying to get him to come in, but
lead some worship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sir Pitbull. So man, we actually do get into the word today though, family. We're really excited to be in the word. We've been doing a soap model. If you have not heard of SOAP, it stands for Scripture, Observation, Application, Prayer. It's just a really useful guided reading tool. Sometimes we get through the Word of God and we can be racing through it like, oh, I got to read this much or I got to do this much or, oh, I got to get something from it in this way. Instead, we just break down some categories that leads us through it. We are reading through a huge chunk in John. In the story that we are reading, John is telling Jesus just fed the 5,000, which you can listen to that podcast. We talked about that is much more than 5,000, more than likely. He also just recently walked on water, which John's version of Jesus walking on water is a little anticlimactic. It's kind of strange that it's such an unbelievable and well-known miracle, but John's perspective of it was just kind of like, Jesus came out. We were scared. And he's like, I'm here. And then we went to the other side of the river or the other side of the lake.
Yeah, this small little miracle happened. Yeah.
Other translations cover that miracle in a phenomenal way. So we are picking up in John 6, 25 through 59. Since that is such a huge passage, we have a special guest that's going to be reading it. Pitbull, will you take it away? No, actually what we're using is the Bible app. Bible app is a super useful tool. You can get it for free and it gives you a ton of different translations. One thing you can do in addition to having multiple translations is it can read the word to you. This is the NIV and every translation comes with a little bit different voice that reads it. Here's the NIV. Join us as we read through John 6, 25 through 59.
When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered, Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Then they asked him, What must we do to do the works God requires? Jesus answered, The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. So they asked him, What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, Always give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. At this the Jews there began to grumble about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I came down from heaven? Stop grumbling among yourselves, Jesus answered. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, They will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum.
So that is our passage that we read through. Like I said, there's a lot. This is a powerful, profound story. This is the first I am statement that Jesus brings to his disciples, but also those that are watching. It does some really, really cool things in this. It sets the stage for communion that we know.
Yeah.
And it really is a really beautiful, powerful, and challenging piece of scripture. And actually, while he's talking about, you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood, people are literally like,
Why would we do that?
Okay, I'm out. And they start to walk away. They start to leave him and they abandon him.
I think they didn't realize the real implications of the sacrifice that he was speaking to.
Yeah. Mm.
And I think a lot of people actually get this whole salvation through communion from this verse. Mm. But that's not really what Jesus is speaking to here. He's speaking in metaphor, of course. So in that point, like, you would want to continue the metaphor. Mm-hmm.
It's, well, let's just that part that we just talked about maybe isn't necessarily the most important part to you. Let's just take a step back before we hone in on the eating and drinking of flesh. What was the scripture that stuck out to you guys? Stuck out?
Well, I think for me, this is Jesus wrapping up the gospel for us, right? Mm. This is salvation. Yeah. He gives it to us like laid out flat. This is how you achieve salvation. It's through me. Mm-hmm. I come from the Father. And, you know, if the Father is drawing you, then you would recognize who I am. Yep. And that's what's really cool about this. There's a lot of people that can get into some Arminianism versus Calvinism conversations in this verse, and I don't really want to go there. What we do see in this is that Jesus actually says that no one comes to him unless the Father draws them. Mm-hmm. So there is this really beautiful call from the Father to his people. Mm-hmm. And that's what I love about this. And again, you can go into the Calvinism thing all you want, and you know, and they make great points, but I just love that concept that we are called by the Father. But there's also this, God seals Christ in this. We are He is sealed by the Father. And then we actually see on later on that Paul actually addresses this. I'm going to actually read another scripture here where Paul talks about this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he has predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Christ Jesus, according to the purpose of his will. So there we have the purpose for it. It's the purpose of his will. To the praise of the glorious grace which he has blessed us, his beloved. And then later on down in this section, and I encourage people to read this for themselves. In verse 11, it says, we are sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. So again, we have this concept of being sealed by the Holy Spirit. Christ is sealed by God. And then later on in Revelation, in chapter 7 or 6, somewhere in there, we hear that we will be sealed under God there as well. The saints will be sealed under God. And actually, this is one of those really big things that a lot of people want to argue on, is the seal of God. And this is where we actually can kind of get into some end times conversation. And the only reason I want to bring this up right now is we've been in this Revelation series lately. Yeah. And we actually discuss in great detail the seal of God and what that means. It's this allegiance to who God is and who you put yourself underneath. And we're seeing a lot of people right now talking about this mark of the beast, right? And how the vaccination's the mark of the beast, right? Well, there is no seal with that. It's because the mark of the beast is this mockery of God's seal. So there's an act of worship and allegiance to it. So I'm just only bringing that up right now. Like, if you haven't listened to the Revelation series and you're listening to this podcast today and you're thinking to yourself, I'm not going to take the vaccine because I'm going to have the mark of the beast. That's not how that is.
Yeah. It's always appropriate to talk about when we see eschatology get misunderstood and brought into daily things that we have to face.
Yeah.
So for instance, the vaccine is right before our eyes, and sometimes poor eschatology can lead us to thinking things that are not necessarily true. So while that doesn't necessarily play into this specific scripture, you can see that seal.
Yeah. There. Seal.
And we'll take it as an opportunity to say, you can feel scientifically however you want to feel about the vaccine, but the Bible gives us no indication that this vaccine is the mark of the beast.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah, probably just worth saying.
You heard it here first.
We're only bringing that up because we're church leaders and we want to do our part to lead people to the path of righteousness, not the path that rocks. That was actually a line from a Disney movie. Emperor's New Groove? No?
Yeah, for sure. I was with you.
Yep.
I think it's really interesting. Jesus does this contrast between material things and spiritual things all the time, you know, and a lot of times it gets misunderstood.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like how people are like, how are we going to eat your flesh? You know, but it's interesting because
that could have really backfired, by the way. What right? if they were just all right. like, okay, then let's get him. Yeah. And the whole crowd's just,
it's more attractive for people, I believe, to hear something about like if I had an event and I had signs outside saying spiritual fulfillment or internal life, no one really come there. But if I had signs up being like free food, you know what I mean? I think it's interesting because like, that's what they are there for. Mm-hmm. You know, they want to see the miracle. They want to just see it again. But Jesus is saying, no, you're not seeing the fullness of it. They just want to focus on the question and you don't want to get to the answer, you know? So. Mm.
Yeah, I think very similar to that. I love, I mean, just how he starts the section. Sorry, let me go back to it real quick. Don't be concerned with the perishable things like food, but spend your energy seeking the eternal life. I love how he's taking food
right.
and he's saying, don't worry about the stuff around you. Don't worry about filling yourself up with things that don't matter. But I am the sustainer. I am the bread of life. Mm-hmm. I will fulfill what you're seeking. And yeah. that just jumps out.
And we see the weight of that on the heels of he just fed a whole bunch of people.
Yeah. Right?
And they come to him and they're essentially like, because he does this miracle and then he goes and walks on water and then he gets on the other side and everybody comes and finds him again. And they're essentially like, do more cool tricks. Like, we want to see a magic show. Do more cool things.
Yeah.
And he says, well, you've only came after me because you want the things.
Yeah.
And I want people that are after me for who I am.
Yep.
And in order for that to take place, you need to know who I am. I am the bread of life.
They weren't seeing the fulfillment of prophecy yeah. standing right in front of them.
Yeah.
Right.
And this I am statement is a throwback to Exodus when Moses, he's sent from the burning bush to go tell Pharaoh to set his people free. And he says, who am I supposed to tell him sent me? And God says, I am who I am. So Jesus, much, 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 much later, goes on the fulfillment of the I am statements of I am the bread of life. This is that he is basically subtly, maybe even not so subtly with the eating of the flesh conversation. He is saying, I am God. This is who I am. I am God. And to know my Father is to know me. And I am the bread of life. I am fulfilling you on a deeper level. Not just your belly's full, but your soul is full.
Yep.
And that's the just the I am statement is what I love.
Yeah, he's definitely addressing a spiritual sustainability in this
yeah.
instead of just this momentary satisfaction because they were looking for a sign.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So those are just a few scriptures that jump out to us and got our thoughts going, got our wheels spinning a little bit. And some observation with it as well. Just the human nature of people were walking away because they were like, oh, this is actually, I kind of just wanted the bread. I just wanted more food. But he's saying, I got something deeper. And in order to receive it, you really need to know me. Like there's an intimacy. It's not just a religious activity or just a feeding your belly. There's a deep level of intimacy to know me, to know who I am. And he is faithful. We see this is the beginning of several I am statements. He is faithful to reveal himself to you, which is that part of like you come to me through the Father. Like that's the only way that you can, that you are being wooed by God. Mm-hmm. That's how we would receive salvation is because God is in pursuit of us.
Yeah.
This is actually really cool because he's saying, you need to know who I am and I'm going to reveal myself to you. That is how we experience salvation is God is in pursuit of us. It's only because he loved us first that we can reciprocate. It's only because he reveals himself that we can walk with him. And here he is revealing himself saying, I am the bread of life. So what's some application to all of these things that we just talked about? Obviously, if the vaccine was a concern, we did a deep dive. Well, not actually go to Revelation podcast. It's a much deeper dive. But if you're concerned about the vaccine, for biblical implications of it being the mark of the beast, there's some application there. We'd love to talk to you more about it.
Yeah.
But what we have read in the Word of God and what we know about the mark of the beast based on Scripture itself, it doesn't appear to be the mark of the beast, so have no fear there. But what are some other applications to us today?
Well, I think the big question that one has to ask themselves when they're reading this is, what am I seeking for when I'm coming to Jesus?
Yeah.
Am I seeking for a big sign? Am I seeking, you know, for God to do something for me? Or am I seeking him for the spiritual satisfaction that he's actually offering here, the spiritual sustainability? Mm. Because so often we come to Christ and we want, you know, money and we want riches and we want to be, you know, personally fulfilled in all of the needs that we think that God is going to offer us. Mm-hmm. But Jesus is directly speaking against that. In fact, he gets a little gruesome.
Yeah.
If we're being honest, he's talking about, you know, his flesh, eating his flesh.
Like, why?
That's Jesus? Where you're going to find spiritual fulfillment.
Yeah.
That's pretty hard, you know, but we actually see from other scriptures that when they ask for a sign, Jesus says only an adulterous generation would ask for a sign. Mm. So we're not wanting Jesus to do magic tricks, are we?
No.
We're just wanting Jesus to satisfy us spiritually. And in that, we actually have eternal life. That's it's that simple. Yeah. If you want the gospel, here it is, guys.
So yeah, another scripture that applies to that application is John 6:29. It says, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. Mm-hmm. That's the gospel.
Yeah.
That to do the work of God, it isn't the signs and wonders. It isn't performance-based. It's believing in the one he sent, believing in the bread of life right before us. That is the work.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's pretty simple, isn't it?
Yeah. It will transform your life. Because to believe is to believe fully that he is who he says he is, which means he wants to do the work in you that he says he will do. So in that simple act of believing, there is transformative work that takes place. But it's not works-based. It's just faith. Mm. It's believing.
Yeah, my application, I don't know, I think about Jesus in this moment, you know, going through John and just following his journey. And it... For us, it's like, oh yeah, that's Jesus. You know, that's what he does. But he was being super radical in that moment.
Yeah,
sure.
He was in a synagogue saying this stuff. Yeah. You know, like totally
standing in a place of authority,
right? Yeah. And with religious leaders there, I think about that, and like, I think sometimes we make Jesus to be like, I mean, duh, we need to do this, but like the context of what he's doing makes it even greater. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? They'd be like, whoa, he was really like. Because, like, Cameron was joking around, like, oh, maybe it could have gone really bad and people, you know, were going to eat him, you know? But, like, there was stuff like that happening around that time, you know, and different little cults and things like that. But I just think back to, like, he says this one verse. It's in 56. Whoever eats my flesh, drinks my blood, lives in me, and I live in him. The living Father sent me, and I live because of him. Mm-hmm. In the same way, the one who eats me will live because of me. And it's just really cool. It sounds, you know, back and forth, but essentially it's a relational thing.
Yeah.
Like he's here because of the Father. And you can be a part of this divine nature, partake in it. You know what I mean? It's like relational aspect to it. Mm-hmm.
Jesus talks about communion with him and the Father all the way through this book.
Yeah.
And actually, you know, when we get into John 17, we're going to really dive into that deep. Because it's I and him and he and me and you and me. And it's just this abiding concept that you're talking about.
Right, right.
Living in him and in perfect communion. But, you know, later on we actually find out that he actually requires us to do that with each other too. Mm-hmm. So it's not just this like communion with him alone. It's also loving each other, you know, and that's not really in today's application. But, you know, there is deeper implications in this.
Pull that out to when this idea of eating the flesh and drinking the blood takes its full, like we begin to understand what he's talking about. As he's headed to the cross, he sits with his friends very intimately, sits at a table and says, here's the bread.
Yeah.
This symbolizes me. This is what I was talking about. Like I'm going to go to the cross. I'm physically going to the cross, but you don't have to physically eat me because here is the bread.
Right.
And here is the wine. And that would have been like, just the most intimate time with Jesus and his really good, close disciples and friends. Mm-hmm. And that message would have traveled by word of mouth through relationship of what Jesus meant when he said that. Like we have the word of God, so I can sit and read it anytime, but this would have been initially spread through the church just by, this is what Jesus meant by this, and it'd be relational, so relational. Yeah. Not just some guy on stage on a Sunday morning explaining communion, but it would have been a friend saying, this is what Jesus said we should do. And here we get to do it together. Will you take communion with me? Right. And by doing this, we're remembering his sacrifice and we're eating and drinking the way that he invited us to.
Yeah.
And it's just so relational.
And thinking about this, disciples are hearing this and probably also being confused, you know, just being like trying to trace
do
that.
Do we have to do that? Wait,
but then like what you're saying, it's so hard to read all this and see where it just spreads all throughout scripture. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's hard just to be like, oh, it's right here. But we can see how it goes into the Old Testament, into what's about to happen. You know, we have that perspective. It would have been cool to be the disciple and actually have those moments, the moment of like, this is what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Peter, we don't have to eat him.
Peter's over there
has some of his hair.
That's just like the character of God though, isn't it? Like you even look at the prophets and you think about Isaiah where they talk about in detail Christ. Mm-hmm. And then people look at it in hindsight and they're like, oh,
yeah.
Oh yeah. But I mean, what does God say that does for him? He says that prophecy is ultimately about showing the world that he is God.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And when these moments happen, you go, mm-hmm. Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's why it's so important to remember that context,
yeah.
That overarching story that's behind this moment. Because sometimes we just read words on a page when actually it's so much more than that, you know?
Mm-hmm. I mean, you guys have all kind of touched on but I think the bread, the blood that Jesus is asking to eat of my flesh, I think it's like what you said, Cameron, it's that relationship that he's trying to get with us and not just getting kind of like what I said earlier, but like not focusing on what's out in front of us and not what can distract us and not what is out there, but being in relationship with the Lord, being in that constant, just diving deeper into each other. And I think that's kind of what stands out to me is just, He's seeking relationship in this and seeking us. So,
yeah. That's my application as well. All the things we talked about, but ultimately, listener, I want to invite you to spend some time in prayer and place yourself in the story, place yourself in this scene, knowing that Christ is in pursuit of your heart. But what is it that you are pursuing? Because so often, even believers, we can find ourselves, we want the power, but not the person. That we want the crown, but not the cross. That we want the miracles, but not the man that's in this story right here. That we want the goodness and the glory, but we don't really want the daily sacrifice. And Jesus is saying to these people, I know why you're here. And today he's asking you, listener, and us, why are you here? What are you after? What is it that you're in pursuit of? If you're after anything less than the full satisfaction that is only found in Christ, then whatever you find in this world, it will leave you still craving more. But when you find Jesus, the person, the man, and you find yourself in the daily sacrifice of loving and serving and walking for him because he died for you, then we find ourselves with a fulfillment of that deep soul craving. So I'm going to pray, and I want to invite you to pray, listener, to examine our motives, not just our actions. Showing up to Jesus was totally right, but some of these people had false motives. They just wanted another magic trick. They just wanted more food. Jesus says, I have so much more than that. Don't seek the temporary when I have something eternal for you.
Right.
And you'll find it in relationship with me. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word and how you reveal it to us through the Spirit of God that continues to make the word alive and active in us, because it's relationship. It's not just words on a page. It's not just a miracle that we would see, but it's a person that we can be with. We can sit and sit at your feet and know you, have relationship with you, that we would read the word and learn your voice so that when you speak to us, we recognize it and we can be obedient. But it's first and foremost so we can just spend time with you. Father, lead us into time with you, in a relationship with you, that we know your voice because you are our shepherd, not just so that we can go do the next big, great thing, but so we can just know your voice. So we thank you for this word, that you are the bread of life, and we can have satisfaction in knowing you and being with you because you are the fulfiller of all our needs. So we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Faith Center Podcast Network.
Be sure to like and subscribe for daily and weekly content. Once again, if you'd like more information about Faith Center, you can visit lg4square.com. That's LG, the number 4, square.com. And you can email the show at podcast@lg4square.com. Thanks for listening and God bless.